Johnson. Good evening, everybody.
Really appreciate your prayers today. We had a wonderful time over at the Haitian church. It was quite an experience. Not that it's the first time preaching through an interpreter, but doing it with the Haitian folk, it was a little unique. But we had a glorious time. Tell you, those folk can really sing over there, and we had a people who came forward. I'm not sure for all of the reasons, but I sense the presence of God there in that place. I'd like you to turn tonight, please, in Ephesians chapter 4, just to verse 2. In Ephesians chapter 4, I will be referring to a few other verses, and appreciate you be much in prayer for the entire service. I believe you already have, because we believe in prayer. We really do. We've seen God work in marvelous ways, and we're looking forward to Him tonight and blessing our hearts. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, even though Brother Kevin has been on the gifts of the body of Christ, you just want to refer to this wonderful body. Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. May God bless the reading of His precious words to our hearts. The oneness that is referred to is in connection here, of course, with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. One body. I know some people who may think they are attached to that one body, or if they are, they seem to think that they have the license to do as they please and act as they please. But that is not in conformity to the will of God or the Word of God. Being members of that one body has a privilege and it has a relationship. That's what is so beautiful about the body of Christ, the church of Jesus. He is the head, and the head that's inseparable to the body, thank God, forever and ever and ever. That one body. Now be sure that you are in that one body. Members of that body. You can't be a finger out here and thinking that you're attached with a body and do as you please, act as you please, and think that you are in that body. One of the things that's very disturbing in society today and in the world today is because people have a vague idea of what it means to be in the body of Christ. Even professed believers, professed Christians, and sometimes young people in particular. It is very important to be sure to know that you're in that body. There are evidences, of course, portrayed in the Word of God, whether you're in the body or not. If you read John's epistle, it's very frightening sometimes, because if you're in the body, you will do righteousness. If you're in the body, you'll love the brethren. If you're in the body, you will love God. If you're in the body, John says, you will keep my commandment. So if you find a person who professes to trust Christ and are not obeying the commandments of the Lord and not really following the Lord, not a disciple of the Lord, then there might be a question mark placed over that life. Now, I can't put that question mark there. But I tell you, it'll be a shocking experience for a lot of people who think that they're in the body, act as they like, think as they like, do as they like, plan as they like, break the commandments of God, and still think that they're going to coast on into heaven. Friend, let me tell you, it is a serious matter. You should know whether you're in the body or not, whether you're related to Jesus Christ, the Lord, or not. It's not a think-so situation. You've heard me say in the past, like dear Mary and Joseph, didn't miss the Lord Jesus for quite a long time. And when they missed Him, they said they supposing Him to be in the midst. And they went in search for Christ, and they found Him, their child. Of course, He was 12 years of age at the time. I'm amazed how they missed Him for so long a period. But they supposed that He was in the midst. Don't suppose. Everyone should know. John says, these things write I unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You can know it, you must know it, and if it's in, if Christ is in your heart. These are the things that sometimes we need to mention because we do not want you to be deceived. We do not want you to think that you could just coast along and that you could just make a profession when you were young or younger and that everything is all right because you made that profession. Perhaps it is. I am not in position to be judgmental. I do not know. But it's good for you, Paul says, examine yourselves and see whether ye be in the faith. This is the word of God. God is commanding us or commanding you to also be sure of your calling. One body. I know there are a lot of people who think that it doesn't matter about the church and churches of the world, whether it's a Buddhist church or whether it's a Confucius church or Krishna church, and they go on and on in all the churches, and one God. Oh, yes, it's one God under many gods. You know, it's amazing how the world is duped and deceived in thinking that everybody could have their own God and still make it to the promised land. And that's contrary to the word of God. And so it is absolutely important, it's imperative that we enjoy and know that we are related to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does this come about? It's not new. You've heard it many times. A genuine commitment to the Lord Jesus, a genuine reception of him into the heart. And it's something that you do by faith. We know that it can't be bought. You can't work for it. You've heard that preached enough from this very platform. I needn't labor the point. And it must be a time in one's life where you come to the place and you realize that Christ is the answer and that he died for you. That's why the Lord Jesus referred to the will of man, the Pharisees in particular. He said, ye will not come to me that you might have life. So it's a matter of the will. Oh, if I could only emphasize that enough. Because that's where it hinges. That's where the real crossroads in one's life it's all about. That's where they are. It's a matter of being willing to trust Christ. I know there are unsaved people who are willing. I don't believe there is an unsaved person in Spanish Wells that's not really willing to be saved one day. You ask them, would you like to go to heaven? They say, oh, yeah, one day. Pray for me. I've never known a place where more sinners ask for prayer than in Spanish Wells. Pray for me. But that's not good enough. My prayer is good and effective, yes. But there must be a willingness on the part of the unconverted man to make up its mind. That's what it's all about. And do something about it. That means being willing. For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So the matter then of the problem is, it's a matter of the mind. Be willing to do it. You can go on and be willing every day. Yet you're going to do it one day. You're going to do it later on. You want to do it. And then one day we hear the news. Have you heard? Have you heard? So-and-so was found dead in their sleep this morning. That's sad. It's shocking. And these are individuals who might have been willing and wanting to be saved and wanted to go to heaven. Am I speaking to anybody here in the chapel like this tonight? Oh, may God help you to see the importance of a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't afford to miss it. God is not against you. Christians are certainly for you. God is for you. And let me tell you something. They'll be so happy that the band of Christians will be so happy and rejoice when you turn your life over to him and you realize as you get your priorities right in life that this is still the greatest thing that you could possibly do. This is still the best thing that you can do. When you have that peace of mind, knowing that you're in the body of Christ. One body. Not a finger way out here or a hand right. Wouldn't it look kind of ridiculous, a hand out there floating? I don't need you. You see, the hand is very important It's a member of the body. And you're in the body. And you never will be detached from that body. You will enjoy eternal security. I pray God then that we'll be conscious of this very need tonight. The second one thing in our narrative in Ephesians 4 and 5, one Lord. If one body denotes relationship, one Lord denotes rulership. Christ must be Lord of the life. The Lord of the life means he is the authority in that life. Now, he's not a slave driver. He's not a hard taskmaster. He is a gracious person. He loves us. And he wants us to serve him with love. He wants us to be a disciple out of love. There might come a time we'll be persecuted for the name of Jesus. We're shouted here in Spanish Wells in many parts of the world. People are really put to death for the cause of Christ. People are called upon to suffer, put in prison, suffer all kinds of agony and torture for the very name of Christ. But generally speaking, he is a gracious leader. He leads, he rules, but the important part about one Lord, if we are a Christian, if you say that you're a Christian, then he must be Lord of the life, which means he is a divine ruler of that life. Is that very hard to expect or difficult to expect? One Lord. The world laughs at him. The world scoffs at him. The world scorns him. Even today, in society and circles, they think that it's ridiculous when we talk about discipleship. But let me tell you, the day is coming, Philippians 2:9. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The day is coming, they're going to bow to the rulership of Christ. But it's going to be too late. Too late. Whereas the Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, I love the certainty of the Word of God. No, maybe, hope so, think so, thou shalt be saved. And you can know it. You can know it. I'm sure the people here in the chapel know about that experience that day when you committed your life to the Lord. You remember the moment. You remember the very occasion. You remember the genuine experience that you had with him in that relationship, how that your heart was warmed and the peace of God just flooded your soul and the joy of the Lord really was yours. You couldn't wait to tell somebody about it. And there was rejoicing when others heard about it. But then you also are enjoying now the Lordship of Christ. To be related to Christ means to also have his Lordship over an individual. The Lordship of Christ means his Lord of my life, his Lord of my home, his Lord of my business, his Lord of my activities, his Lord of my pleasure life, his Lord of everything that I own, everything I possess, that is, he is Lord. And as a Christian, I'm sure you're glad to confess that. You own up to that. You're not afraid of that. And it doesn't present any fear. It doesn't strike terror to your heart because he is Lord. When you get home to heaven, who do you think you're going to see? When the shout is given, the rapture takes place, and you're ushered, when the bones will rattle and the dust will come and be formed into that body that he's going to give you in that day, I have a suspicion, too, that maybe the earth will even rattle. I may be wrong. I don't have any scripture for that. But every time something great happens like that, by God, something happens on the earth. It happened during the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. I am not in position to say, but I know one thing. Ah, those bones that have long turned to dust, no matter where they have gone, maybe they're not even existing as dust any longer, but they will come forth, the church of Jesus Christ, and they'll be raised incorruptible, and we will be with him. Oh, my friend, what a day. And we will see who? The Lord. I love the word. He is Lord. We sing it. And whether the world wants to acknowledge him or not, he is Lord. He was Lord, is Lord, and he will ever be Lord. The world may scoff at him. They may turn their backs on him, but he is Lord. Aren't you glad, my fellow Christians, to own him as Lord? Relationship, rulership. They both go together. If you say that you are a Christian, that you must let him rule in your life, it is imperative, very important, that we recognize this. If you're here tonight and you want to really be a Christian, it's only a matter of bowing the knee to him. You see, you're acknowledging his lordship. Bow to him. The sinners in the coming day are going to bow, but it's too late. Every knee shall what? Shall bow. But you bow now. You have him as your friend. You have him as your Savior. You have him as your Lord. What a difference it'll make in one's life. Years ago, in California, maybe they still have it. I've never been there, but I read about it. They had their little circuses or their little playgrounds and one particular place. And the same standard, they tell me, is in Disney World. I've never been there. I've passed the place 5 times, but never had children with me, my children with me, so I never went in. I've never been there. Don't even know what the inside of it looks like. But in any case, they had a little sign over this place called Tiny Tot Play Lot. Now, if you were so high, you might be able to bend and let you in at a certain height. And you had to bow in order to go in. Tiny Tot Play Lot. Perhaps I could use that same illustration. You can get in, my friend, unless you bow. It is important, imperative, that you bow. What is so hard in bowing to Christ when he loves you so dearly? He loves you so much where he gave his beloved son to die in your place and in my place. Oh, may God give you the wisdom and the help and the strength tonight to just bow. Don't let this night go by. Don't let the devil have the victory over your will and over your mind. You make up your mind tonight with the help of the Lord that you're going to do something about this commitment to Christ. Thirdly, 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. A mediator is a man who goes between, the man who stands in the middle. He is the mediator. I use the word reconciliation. Not long ago, we had this explained to us beautifully by Brother Cosen. Christ being the reconciler. Not that God started the argument. Sin came in and it separated man from God. And the Lord Jesus said, Father, I will go. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, I have come to do thy will. One of the greatest lessons of redemption or salvation is that Christ came into the world not to condemn the world. You see, God is not condemning you now. Christ is not here to condemn you now. He can find a lot to condemn, but he's not doing that. That's not the business of God right now. Right now, it's in the pardoning and the grace of business. He's in the mercy work. He is showing mercy. He is showing grace. He is showing pardon. And he's reconciling. He stretches out his hands and he wants to take your hand and put it in the hands of God because you're at enmity with God. You're out with God. You're at odds with God. And he takes your hand and he puts it in the hand of God if you're willing. And he says, be ye reconciled. He patches up the argument. He patches up the difference. And sin is dealt with and done away with. And he puts your sin behind its back. Behind its back means it's out of sight. I love that, don't you? I tell you, of all the parade of my sins of the past, as far as I can remember, whoever brought before me, I wouldn't be able to preach the gospel from this platform tonight. But God has placed them and put them out of sight. As far as the east is from the west, so have I removed your transgressions. And God will forgive, God will forget. And I often try to tell people that He doesn't have a bad memory. He doesn't suffer from Alzheimer's. No, that's not the problem. That's not the point. The point is that He will to forget it, never to remember it against you anymore. He will never say, "I told you so." No, because it's forgotten and it's put out of sight. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Not some of them, but all sin. And I love that verse in John's epistle. So He is one mediator and is the only one to reconcile. In the storm stories, not too long ago, I saw with a man in a helicopter, and he was down to the ladder at the last rung of the ladder, and this man was swirling about in the flood, and he was on just a little bit of debris, and he was tired and exhausted, and that man reached out his hand, and when he clasped the hand of that man, you never saw so much joy. It looked like life and vitality came to the body of that man who was exhausted and looked like he was almost unconscious. But when he felt the hand of that man, and he raised him up, and he grabbed him, and he put his arms around him, and the ladder began to ascend into the helicopter, and he was saved. He reached out his hand, and the man grabbed his hand. And that's exactly what God wants to do with you tonight. He wants to grab your hand. You know why? Because you're sinking in hell, and God knows that the flames of an eternal hell is there. The mouth, the pit of hell is open wide. And you're falling. You're sinking. You're sinking. You're going down. Jesus reaches His hands out. Give Him your hand. Give Him your hand. Before it's all over. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12. One sacrifice. I close with it. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. One sacrifice. This is the one thing of redemption. Hallelujah, the work is done. God is satisfied with the work of Jesus. His divine approval is upon this work. You can rest your all upon it. It was sufficient, not to be added to, and you dare not take anything away from it. It meant suffering. Oh, this one sacrifice brought many tears and pain to the body of Christ as He hung there on the cross. None of us could ever imagine what it's like. There's no movie or movies in the world that could ever depict what went on inside of the heart and soul of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mind of the Lord. You might see what they did to His body with a hand being nailed and His feet being nailed and the crown of thorns upon His brow. You may see the spittle draining from His face.